All right, hello, Fictional Cafe people. We have never done this before, but I thought since I was in the neighborhood, I'd say hello to Kennedy Phillips and Chris Moore, who are two of the people who are a part of the crew of Magus Elgar. So, hi, guys.
Hi.
Greetings.
All right, so I'm guessing you guys are pretty excited because you got the first episode of Magus Elgar coming out today on Fictional Cafe. Just any thoughts?
Feels like it's been forever, to be honest.
I know. Okay, so we started, or Kennedy wrote this with a friend of his years ago. I say we spent maybe about a year and a half in production, maybe longer.
Yeah, the big thing about it was that I loved the idea of doing audio dramas for a long time. I actually did them a lot in undergrad, just for fun. They were not very good because I was using WavePad, which only had one audio track to work with. But I wanted to actually try and use my skills for it. So I presented it to my boss, Hamed Hokumzadeh of Melody Gun, and saying, hey, we could produce our own show with all of our talents. Mm-hmm. I have this really great idea. And he's like, what's an audio drama? after I showed him like two or three audio dramas, he's like, I don't really know what you're going to be doing. So just kind of make me something. Mm-hmm. So we had to make a proof of concept for the show. I got around to writing it, but it took forever because this was a passion project. So I didn't get paid to do this. The other part of it was that when I finally got around to finishing writing the first like complete version of the series, I took a step back. I looked at all that I surveyed and I said, I can't stand this. This is awful.
Right.
Like I wasn't interested in the story. The plot didn't really go in a fun direction, and I didn't really have a villain. So I talked to Andrew and I said, I'm starting over. And he says, I'm sorry, what? I hate this. I'm going to start from square one on this. I said, can we talk about this? But then we got a much more focused product and we were much happier with it, which is one of the reasons why it took us so long.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing a passion project, may as well do something you enjoy. Because you mentioned that you really loved audio dramas. Are there any that stick out particularly that sort of inspired you?
The one that inspired me the most was something that a friend of mine had sent to me a little around the time after undergrad called Professor Nebulous. Mm-hmm. It was a parody of Doctor Who, directed, ironically, by the voice of the Daleks. And it's got such a quirky sense of humor. The wit was really lightning fast. And I was just so enamored by it. I must have watched that. I must have listened to that series hundreds of times driving to and from work. It was the one that I really fell in love with.
Every day in the car, I remember, in fact, I'd go over to your place about that time and we'd hop in, we'd go somewhere and Professor Nebulous was playing on your stereo on a regular basis. And then you finally gave me the first episode to listen to all the way through. And I'd actually see how that translated, how that inspiration translated into Magus Elgar. And I mean, even for me, like in comparison, I mean, I never had that radio drama outlet. For me, it was just audiobooks on tape as a kid, a lot of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. I had Green Hornet myself.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Green Hornet, Prairie Home Companion was one that my parents showed to me.
Did you ever listen to the Tales from Like What Begone?
I never have, no.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
One of the reasons that I ended up getting so enamored by audio dramas in general was when I was in, I'd say, kindergarten, they had this room for like little like interactive exercise or something where you'd go inside and be like this big cardboard tube or something. And the teacher would play this file of being in a rocket ship and rocketing off into the moon and then landing, and all of it's done by sound effects.
What was your intention for the start? Because you mentioned you pitched the idea to your boss. Were you hoping that it would go from an audio drama into something else?
I had just gotten out of college, my master's program at Chapman University. I had only gotten to direct two things beforehand, in college.
Right.
One was Autopilot, which I was very proud of. And one was where I actually had to put money down, which was called Deprived Sense. It was a script I hated. And I got really self-conscious about it because I felt like, well, I have all these ideas, but I could never be a person in charge. Mm-hmm. But after working with so many other people and finding that not a lot of people know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I said to myself, I really want to try this again. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure that I do this in a venue that I have the most experience with, that I have the mm-hmm. most skill with. And I wanted to direct something that was unequivocally, completely mine. Mm-hmm. I presented it to Hamed as this idea of, hey, Melody Gun can show that we can make our own creative venues. And he was like, yeah, I could get behind that. Anywho, I wanted to I started off as making this as a proof of concept for a series to show that, hey, we've got a really interesting concept. We've mm-hmm. got really interesting ideas. It has the potential to expand in all sorts of different directions. I've even discussed with Chris and most of my friends of like ideas that I pump out on a regular basis. And a lot of them are bad, but some of them are good. Mm-hmm. And that's the important thing.
Yes.
Is that some of them are good. Mm-hmm. I want to turn this into an animated series. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, I made season one to prove to myself that I could direct. Mm-hmm. That I could create something. And with the experience I got from Crest Animation, working on Alpha and Omega, the movie that Richard Rich produced mm-hmm. As like editorial support, I have enough to be able to make like a short indie pilot. Mm-hmm. All I need is to get myself an animation crew.
Right. But I'm guessing it's really been a learning experience for you, just how far you're able to go as far as your limits and sort of expanding beyond those horizons a little bit. A little bit.
It has been a considerable learning experience in a lot of different directions.
Oh, yeah. For the both of us. I remember working with the talent that we did. I mean, I don't think Kennedy and I have ever done anything like that on that scale. And he actually comes from a background in film. And even then, I kind of found myself in the same position as Kennedy in this really vulnerable aspect of, you know, what are we doing and how are we going to get through this? And I found that like every day was just a growth for us coming out of the recording studio, coming off of the Foley stage and solving a problem or finding the right take, just absolutely riveting coming out of the studio with that adrenaline rush. You know, you're sweaty, you're tired, you're exhausted. The room smells funny.
It's 4:30 in the morning.
It's 4:30 in the morning. And we love every second of it. Uh-huh. So yeah, absolutely. I feel like even now that the series is finished, like we've absolutely done everything in our power to come out on top the way we have in making the show to reach the level of quality that we believe it is. You know, we definitely he taught me a lot about sound design, and we were able to share a lot of technical knowledge about how to get the project done.
Two more questions before we wrap up. Craziest story on set, really quick, off the top of your head, just the first thing that comes to mind, guys.
I have one, and it doesn't involve Kennedy immediately. It was
I know which one you're talking about.
Yes, I think you know too. It was the day that we were supposed to get work done. Me and Andrew were in the studio.
I was sick at the time.
He was sick. And so he left it to us to go into the studio. He gave us the keys to the soundstage. And he says, okay, here, you know, these are the lines you have to record. And Chris, you're going to record all of the lines for Udo. We had a 6-hour recording session approximately. For one episode. So we come out of that. And it turns out that out of the time that we had allotted for us to get work done, only 20% of it was actually, you're giving me like the best look right now. It's fantastic. I wish you guys could see this.
Well, let me chime in when you're done. Don't let me stop you.
Oh no, I will. Believe me. And we get out of the, right. We only got about, you know, maybe a few minutes of work done and the rest of it was just goofing off. And by the time, I don't know, maybe a few days later, Kennedy gets the recordings and he starts, I don't even get a chance to say hello, yelling over the phone. Oh my God, what is this? This is just jokes. You guys have been dicking around for 4 hours.
Oh, as for my craziest story that I had,
Yeah,
we had a lot of really silly bits in pre-production, but I think the one that I'm going to go for is Foley.
Okay.
While I'm doing Foley, I'm the only person in the recording booth recording all the sound effects. Now, we took a little bit of pride for Magus Elgar in that I might have gone a little bit overboard with the sound effects in that I Foley...
Everything.
Like 70% of the show is like Foley that I recorded myself or jumbled into some kind of sound effect thing. But one of the more frustrating things about it was that Chris is a perfectionist when it comes to getting a lot of those things down. And a lot of times we would have communication errors in explaining intention.
Yeah.
There was one bit where all I had to do was walk up and down some stairs.
Right.
We had some wood stairs there. I would record going up and play. I would play the episode in my ears. I'd walk up and down, and I get to it, and it plays fine. Walk down some stairs, open a door, close a door. I stop it. I look over to Chris. I go, "What'd you think?" He leans forward and goes, "I don't think that translates well." I said, "What do you mean it doesn't translate well?" I just don't think people are going to understand what happens. I walk down some stairs and close a door. How can you interpret that differently? I just, you know, I feel like we should try it again. Maybe use some different stairs. I go, "There's one pair of stairs in this room. What do you want me to do?" He goes, "Well, maybe you could stomp on the wood in the room or something like that." I go, "Okay, fine. I'll go stomp on the woods." We've been at this for about 6 hours, by the way. And we get to this point.
Yeah.
So I stomp on the hardwood, and he goes, "Nah, it doesn't translate well." I go, "Okay, fine." I get on the glossy wood and start stomping on that. He goes, I'm not feeling it. It doesn't translate well. After about, like, I get some bits of wood, of shrapnel of wood, slam it on the floor and start stomping on that. He goes, "Well, that obviously doesn't translate well." And he goes, "You know what? Why don't you try the stairs again? I'm warming up to it." I do the stairs exactly. I do the stairs exactly the way I did in the first take. And he goes, "That's great. This is fantastic."
All right, so one more question before we wrap this up for you guys. Obviously, we've got a couple listeners out there who might be interested in making their own podcast or audio drama. Is there any advice you can give them about the process? Just really quick stuff, maybe some lessons that you've learned along the way.
Well, we didn't go about this the cheap way. I went with voices.com, who were absolutely the nicest people. They actually gave me an agent to work with to help whittle down my auditions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I highly recommend, if you're going to make a script, use like a script making program like Final Draft. That's what I use. Yeah. Because the nice thing about it is that when you give it to your actors, you can give a character breakdown to show like how many lines they have and other things like that.
That became really useful.
When it comes to making, doing the sound design for it, don't be afraid to use stock sound effects. Mm-hmm. But the thing I should implore you is that if you're going to use stock sound effects, don't just throw it into the project. Mm-hmm. Toy with it. Mess with the equalization. Make some cuts to it, or add some other sound effects on top of it.
Yeah, don't be afraid to get creative with sound effects. That's the thing that I think we can both agree that was one of the things that really pulled us forward. How much experimentation went into the sound design?
Yeah, a lot of the bit where we have the most amount of pride is the sound design. I mean, the actors are phenomenal in this show, and I could not have found a better team to work with this. Mm-hmm. And they were all absolutely delightful people.
Yeah.
That being said, I put absolutely everything into that sound design, and I don't know too many shows that end up doing that in podcasts. If only because a lot of people are under the impression that the soundscape only needs to be two people talking and an occasional sound effect.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be that way. You can make this entire universe with some headphones or something like that. We actually mixed our show to be like a to play best in a movie theater. But for people that are starting out, what I recommend to them is that when they get their script, read it out loud and read it with some friends.
Yeah.
When I first started doing Magus Elgar, first come up with the writing and stuff, I sat down with Andrew and we'd have a get together where I'd make pizza and everybody would be watching movies and stuff. And we'd read the scripts, and it helped us figure out who was laughing, who enjoyed it, what wasn't working. We'd go back and do drafts again. But it also gave us an understanding of the pacing, the timing, how we wanted the lines to sound when we went to it.
Well, thank you guys both for your time. I think with all of that, it's kind of cool. You get a little behind the scenes, a little promo, some stories about at least two members of Magus Elgar. And hopefully we'll get to hear from more of you guys soon.
Yeah. I have something to say real quick about creating your own audio drama or creating your own podcast. If you ever get the idea to do it, you know, Kennedy makes some really good points. Don't be afraid to share it with your friends, and absolutely always be open to new ideas. Don't be afraid of sound effects. Always use them to your advantage, because sound effects are there to tell their own story. I would also say, in addition to that, collaboration is your best friend when creating a project like this. We could not have done it without the help that we had.
Once again, thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it. Last words, really quick.
As a final note, whatever idea you may be having, whatever position you might be in the world right now, you are a stunning individual with a gorgeous idea, and you should have faith in yourself to go out and try and make it happen. I didn't have faith in myself at first, and it held me back from making this project. And now, I couldn't fathom looking back.